chapter number 9. And we'll give you the thought that the Lord has laid upon our heart tonight. And appreciate the good singing tonight. Appreciate the message in that last song. Amen. We need some people to get in the fight. Amen. And not to be violent, not to be rioters or anything like that, but just to stand up and be counted for God in this hour. Amen. And I try to say a little bit about that in the message tonight. I want to be a help to you. And preacher told us to kind of go in the same direction as this morning with something patriotic. And had this fought on our heart for a few weeks now. And just want to be a help to you and try to draw some things out of the scripture that would be a blessing to us tonight. Daniel chapter number 9. And if you're willing and able, let's stand this evening as we read the text. Daniel chapter number 9. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1 and read a portion of scripture. And then we'll pray and you can take your seat. Daniel chapter number 9. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, which spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are afar off, through all the countries whither Thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against the Lord. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against Thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His ways, which He set before us by His servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed Thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey Thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. And He hath confirmed His words, which He spake against us and against our judges, that judged us by bringing upon us a great evil, for unto the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand Thy truth." Let's pray together. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You, God, for Your goodness to us. Lord, we do thank You, God, for this time that is set apart, Lord, to honor, Lord, our nation, honor those that have served, honor those that have purchased freedom, Lord, with their own blood, Lord. But above all of that, Lord, we want to honor You. God, we want this day to be about You, and we want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. God, You've given Yourself for us, Lord, when we were estranged from You, Lord, when we were aliens from the promises and the covenants, Lord of Israel. God, You came to where we were, put on a robe of flesh, Lord, lived as we lived in the human experience, took our sins upon Yourself, overcame death, hell, and the grave, and purchased our pardon. Lord, we thank You for that. And Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd help us now, Lord, to direct our attention and our thoughts to You. Father, we need Your anointing and Your help. And I pray, Lord, that You'd just lose us and let us preach. And God, that You'd have Your will and way. God, You do what You want to do, Lord. We're Your people. This is Your house. This is Your word. God, we're filled with Your Spirit tonight. And I pray, Lord, that Your will would be accomplished. Lord, that you'd use us as you see fit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. We come to Daniel chapter number 9. And up to this point in the book of Daniel, I don't know if you have recently read the book of Daniel, but if you're a student of Bible prophecy or reading through the book of Daniel, up to this point we know that Daniel has received two visions from the Lord. And Daniel is here. He's been there in Babylon for quite some time now, and Daniel has kind of become a man of reputation here. But we find here in Daniel chapter number 9 that God is speaking once again. And he opens up in verse number 2, and he said, in the first year of his reign, talking about Darius, he said, he understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. And so Daniel was familiar with the word of God, namely the prophecies of Jeremiah here, and he's reading about the destruction that is coming upon Jerusalem. And may I say this tonight, that what God said came to pass. Amen. The prophets foretold it, and even the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the Gospels, you go back and you study, Jesus talks about the destruction of Jerusalem. Even there in Matthew chapter number 24, he talks about them fleeing from the housetops and fleeing the country, and he gives them that prayer request that they ought to pray that their flight would not be in the winter. And so God's word has come to pass, and God's word will come to pass. And Daniel is contemplating this, and he's thinking about this. Amen. Whenever we come to the book of Daniel, we find several things that we could say about the man Daniel as an individual. Number one, we think about Daniel in the early chapters, and we think about Daniel being a man of purpose tonight. Amen. The Bible said that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Daniel was a young man. Daniel knew what he had been taught. Daniel knew what the word of God commanded him and what God expected out of him. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not go against the commandments of the Lord. He would not defile himself so that he may be fit to serve the Lord. And so we see that Daniel was a man of purpose. And can I say this just in passing tonight? What I'm doing tonight, I'm doing it on purpose. Amen. I'm not preaching by accident. It was a big deal when the Lord called me to preach. I wasn't looking for him to do that. But I'm glad, thank God, by faith I went with him. Amen. And began to serve him, began to walk in this way. And we thank the Lord for that tonight. But what I'm doing, I'm not doing it by accident. I would venture to say you're not here by accident tonight. You're not strictly here because you have to be. But I'm glad that I'm looking at some people tonight who have made up their mind to serve God on purpose tonight. Amen. So Daniel was a man of purpose. But then as we see in the text before us, Daniel is a contemplative man. He's thinking about what the Word of God says, and he's already had two visions there. He has interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream and told him all about that. And we see that Daniel is not only a man of purpose, but Daniel is a man of prophecy tonight. Amen. He is a man who is interested in what the Word of God has to say. It wasn't just because Daniel was a prophet himself. It wasn't because he was a preacher. It wasn't because it was just interesting about what was to come. But Daniel was a man who loved the Word of God tonight. Amen. Hey, listen, it's important to know what's coming down the line. It's important to know what the Word of God says. I think a lot of Christians, they just default and they say, well, I don't know if I'm post-millennial or pre-millennial. I'm just pan-millennial. It's all going to pan out one day. Hey, but it's important that we know what the Word of God has to say about what's coming down the line. Amen. Daniel was a man of purpose. Daniel was a man of prophecy. But then we find again here in Daniel chapter number 9 that as Daniel is contemplating upon these things, he is a man of purpose concerning serving God in his heart. He's a man of prophecy concerning what the Word of God says. But then we find there in verse number 3 that we see that Daniel is a man of prayer. when the decree was given that Daniel could not pray, that he could not go and open up those windows, he still set his face toward the city of God. He still made it his habit to pray in spite of what the mandate said, in spite of what authority laid out the rules that he could not do it. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would fix the word of God in his heart and his mind, and Daniel would pray tonight. Amen. When we look in Daniel chapter number 9, in verse number 18, we see several things concerning Daniel's prayer. But namely tonight, I want you to look at verse number 18. And here's what Daniel pleads. He said, "Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies." Here Daniel is, and if we could outline it this way, number one, I see that Daniel is praying for his church. Amen. I understand that the church is not something that's come to pass yet, but hear what Daniel said in verse number 18. He said, "Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name." You know what was there in the city? It was the place of worship. It was the house of God. Amen. Daniel longed in his heart to see that place again. Daniel didn't realize and didn't know that he'd never go back to that place. Though he would never go back to the place of worship, thank God he knew the God that he worshiped. Amen. And he knew the God that made his dwelling in that temple and made his dwelling in those tabernacles and eventually under the new covenant would make his dwelling in the hearts of men tonight. Amen. Daniel prays concerning the place of worship tonight. He prays for his church, and then Daniel prays for the citizens tonight. Notice what he continues to say there in verse number 18. He said, "Open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by my name." He said, "For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness." He prays for his church, and then he prays for the citizens. He prays for the people. He prays for his country. He prays for Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. And can I say this tonight, that Daniel, even though he's not there, even though Daniel is in Babylon, and Daniel is in a foreign country, he was still a patriot tonight. Amen. You know, I believe this with all of my heart, that you can be both a Christian and a patriot. I think there are some that say they hold true to the Word of God, and I understand that we're not of this world. I understand that we seek after a heavenly country. The Bible talks about Abraham seeking after a city which builder and maker was God, and I'm glad that I am a citizen of that heavenly country. But listen, I was born in America, amen? Listen, long before I knew anything about spiritual things, I knew about the Pledge of Allegiance, and I knew about family members that had served in the military. And I think that it's all right to be thankful to be born in America. I think it's all right when you see Old Glory waving and you hear the national anthem and you stand to your feet. I think it's all right to be moved and have a tear in your eye and there to be a sense of thankfulness and a sense of pride in your heart about where you come from tonight. Amen. I don't think it's a sin against God at all to be a patriot. Some would say, "Well, I'm a Christian, I'm not of this world, and I don't have any time for that. I can't pledge to a flag. I can't give my allegiance to this country." But you'll find over and over again, Daniel being case in point, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, even the Apostle Paul, when he stood before trial in the book of Acts. Listen, Paul was not ashamed of his Roman citizenship, and as a matter of fact, he used it to his own benefit tonight when he stood trial for preaching the gospel tonight. Amen. I think that it's all right and it is acceptable and it is indeed godly to be a patriot and to be concerned about the welfare of your nation tonight. And so thus Daniel begins to pray. He begins to talk to God about the sin. He begins to talk about the condition of Israel. He begins to talk about the condition of the hearts of the people of God. And he begins to pray for Israel. And with that thought in mind, we can take this and we can lift it up out of the text and we can apply quiet of the day and hour in which we live, and we see how Daniel prayed for Israel. But you and I as Christians and you and I as patriots in 2024 can look at the example that's been laid out before us here in the Word of God, and we can see how Daniel prayed for Israel, but we can come to understand how you and I ought to pray for our country tonight. Amen. I want to preach on that thought and that subject on how to pray for America. How to pray for America. There's no doubt as we look in Daniel chapter number 9 that the people of God were in bad shape. Israel was in bad shape. The judgment had been pronounced. The prophets had preached it and they had predicted it, and down through the years they had continually given the message, and the people scoffed and the people mocked and they rolled their eyes as Isaiah preached and as Jeremiah preached and all of the other men of God came. As Elijah stood before Ahab, the people of God found themselves in a mess, and thank God that there was a man that was willing to stand and boldly proclaim the Word of God. You read about Ezekiel in the Word of God. Ezekiel didn't have not one convert. Amen. God made him do some strange things. He went out and he laid in the street and he cut all the hair off of his body and he burned it. And God had him do those peculiar things and do those strange things because God was trying to get the attention of the people tonight. Amen. But they would not heed the voice. You know what happened? King Manasseh, history tells us that there was an uprising. King Manasseh got mad at Isaiah, at the prophet Isaiah, and he had him sawn asunder, sawn in half. Amen. But the Bible talks in Hebrews chapter number 11 about those that were sawn asunder, those that were tortured for the sake of the gospel, those that were tortured for the word of God. But listen to me, all those prophets would come and they would preach, and the people would stop their ears and they would roll their eyes and they would stiffen their neck, and prophet after prophet they killed them. They put Jeremiah in the pit, put him in the prison, and then the day and hour came when the darling Son of God was born into this world, and he was the preacher of all preachers. And you know what they did to him? They rejected his message and they hung him on a cross and they killed him because they'd rather have their religion and play their religious game than to get their hearts right with God tonight. Amen. Here Daniel is. Daniel begins to pray this prayer. Number one tonight, Daniel prays a prayer of repentance. He prays a prayer of repentance. Notice what he says here in the Word of God, beginning in verse number 4. He said, "And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession." He begins with the idea of repentance. He said, "O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity." Daniel begins with confession this evening. What is confession doing? Confession is simply telling God what you've done. You say, "Well, God knows my heart. God knows what I've done." Yeah, but listen to me. We need to come clean. Amen. We need to admit what we've done. We need to confess some things to God. Amen. We need to invite God into the situation in our life, because listen, if the leadership is left to us, amen, and our hand is left on the wheel and our hand is left on the reins, listen, we're going to make a mess of it every time. Boy, well, we need God to come in and make up the difference. We need God to be leading our life. We need the leadership of the Word of God and the leadership of the Spirit of God in our life. And confession is good for the soul. We ought to confess to God what we've done. Thank God the Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, thank God, and we make confession of our sin, then the blood of Jesus Christ His Son, He cleanseth us from all sin. Isn't it good to be clean? Amen. Isn't it good to know that there's nothing between? As the songwriter said, just to pour it all out before God, not to let your sins be stacked up, to keep short accounts with God, and just to tell God your heart and tell Him what you've done, and to just get right with Him. For some more than others, it's hard to make an apology. It's hard to admit that when you've done wrong. I think you ask the average person, not even Christian, but just the average citizen in America, you'd be hard-pressed to get them to admit that they've done anything wrong. Boy, we're living in the days when they call good evil and evil good. We're living in days where the things that the preacher mentioned this morning, they're certainly a reality this morning. And we might look at the things that this world is doing and we say, well, I don't have anything to do with that. Yeah, but listen to me this evening. Our nation as a whole, we're guilty. You understand that when Jesus comes back, Matthew chapter number 25, there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be a great white throne judgment. But there's something that's going to be that's often overlooked in the Word of God. There is a judgment of nations this evening. Amen. And God is going to judge those kings and He's going to judge those nations of the world. And listen to me, America will be no different tonight. Daniel prayed a prayer of repentance. He began with confession. He brings up the covenant there in Daniel chapter number 9. There in verse number 5, he said, verse number 4. He said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him. Boy, I'm glad grace didn't begin in the New Testament. Amen. God is a God of grace and God is a God of mercy. And the grace of God is interwoven as a tapestry all throughout the Word of God, even in the Old Testament tonight. Amen. And thank God, God is a covenant-keeping God. Amen. But listen, God desires to have a relationship with man. You go all the way back to the garden when Adam and Eve sinned against God. Listen, it was God who took the initiative to get things right. Amen. Adam was trying to hide himself in the trees. Adam was trying to get away from God. Oh, but what great love that God expressed and what great desire that God expressed for Adam and Eve to have them brought back into fellowship. And it was God that sought him out and it was God that took the initiative tonight. Amen. I wasn't looking for him. But I'm so glad he came looking for me as a 14-year-old boy. I didn't have God on my mind that morning. I wasn't thinking about anything. I had spent the night with a buddy of mine. His daddy came in late Saturday evening and said, boys, y'all get ready in the morning. We're going to church. Amen. We went to the house of God and I wasn't looking for God, but thank God He knocked on my heart's door and He drew me to Himself and I got saved that morning, hallelujah, and I've never been the same, and I'm glad I hadn't had to re-up. I'm glad I hadn't had to double dip. I'm glad I've not had to remind God to keep His end of the deal. Thank God He is a covenant keeping God and it's been sealed in the blood of His darling Son, and thank God I've never had to go and remind Him of His goodness and His grace. Amen. And then he talks about his commandments there at the latter part of verse number 4. What are the commandments? The commandments are what God desires from His people. Those things that please Him. Those things that accompany salvation. Those things that foster righteousness in our life tonight. Now, to neglect these and neglect confession of sin and to neglect the covenant and to neglect the commandments of God, you notice what happens. The Bible talks about confusion there in verse number 7. He said, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces. I don't want to get ahead of myself tonight, but Daniel is essentially saying, God, we're getting exactly what we deserve. We gripe about Biden a whole lot, don't we? But he may be just what God's ordered for us. He may be exactly what we deserve tonight. Amen. We cannot expect the nation to get right if we're not willing to get right tonight. Amen. We're real quick to turn up our nose at the homeless dope addict and turn up our nose at the harlot and turn up our nose at those in the music industry and those out of Hollywood. We're real quick to do that and disassociate ourselves from those kinds of individuals. But what about our sin tonight? Amen. And you say, well, I'm not a drunkard tonight. I'm not a fornicator or an adulterer tonight. What about that jealousy? What about that envy? What about that strife? What about that covetousness tonight? What about that adultery in your heart? What about that murder you've committed in your heart tonight? What about those things that nobody else sees? But there's a thrice holy God who sees my sin and He sees your sin and He desires that we confess and we get right with Him tonight. We can't expect the nation to get right if the church won't get right tonight. Daniel included himself. Boy, you read about Daniel here in the Word of God, and there's a whole lot of good things that are said about Daniel. But you know what Daniel did? Daniel threw himself in the lot with the people of God. He included himself. He did not isolate himself or try to separate himself from the sin of people that were long dead before he was ever even born. He included himself in the nation of Israel. And he said, we have sinned. I'm glad tonight that even though we have sinned, even though God is a God of judgment and He is a God of righteousness and He is coming to rule with a rod of iron, thank God, listen, He's not coming back as a meek and lowly shepherd. He's not coming back as a Nazarene preacher, but He's coming back as the King of glory, and He's going to set up a kingdom. But I'm glad tonight that we can seek His face and we can obtain mercy and we can obtain grace tonight. Amen. Daniel prayed a prayer of repentance. But then Daniel prayed a prayer of retribution. If you notice in chapter 9 and verse number 10, he said, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in His ways, which He set before us by His servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed Thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey Thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. I mean, he just keeps going on and on. Boy, when I talk about my sin and I confess my sin, I want to talk about it and get it over with, get it under the blood and depart from it. But I mean, Daniel's just going on and on and on and on, and he's talking about the retribution of God. I notice retribution is confirmed. Notice what he said in verse number 11. He mentions the law of Moses. That curse being poured upon us as the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against Him. He talks about retribution confirmed. We find there in verse number 12, the Bible said, and He hath confirmed His words which He spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil, for unto the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. We see retribution is confirmed. What is God doing? Here's the attitude that Daniel is praying with. Daniel is praying with the attitude that God is keeping His word. Isn't it funny tonight how whenever, you know, God keeps a promise to us or God does something wonderful for us, boy, we're sure to bring that up. But understand that judgment is coming. And that just shows us the fact that God is keeping His word, whether it be good or bad in our sight. God is just doing what He said that He would do tonight. Amen. When God judges sin, He's being faithful to His own word tonight. And God chastises His children under the new covenant, doesn't He? When we pray, we must accept God's retribution. The writer of Hebrews talked about that there being no more sacrifice for sin. That doesn't mean that we listen, there's no more sacrifice. That doesn't mean when you sin, you're lost again. No, what that simply means tonight is whenever the hammer of God's judgment and the hammer of God's chastisement falls, you can wail and weep and you can pout and cry and shout and plead with God. Listen, God is going to do exactly what He said that He would do. It's sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping is not some obscure verse that we find in Proverbs somewhere. Sowing and reaping is a New Testament principle tonight. Sometimes we're disobedient to the Lord. We go our own way. We rebel against Him. And then we whine and gripe and complain when we have to face the consequences of our own actions tonight. Boy, this is a great sermon tonight, isn't it? God uses both chastisement and judgment to guide the heart to repentance. He'll use His goodness too tonight. Amen. God knows exactly what we need, how we need it, and when we need it to guide the heart to come back to Him. We see retribution confirmed, and then of course we see retribution continued. And then can I say this, number three, Daniel not only prayed a prayer of repentance. Daniel prayed a prayer of retribution, but then, thank God for this, Daniel prayed a prayer of restoration. Look with me in verse number 16. Now, it'll start to go uphill a little bit from here. Amen. He said, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. Daniel begins to pray a prayer of restoration. In other words, he's saying this: God, I understand that it was us that got us in this mess. God, the wheels of judgment are turning, but if you'd be merciful and you'd be gracious and you'd incline your ear unto us and cause your face to shine on us again, I'd be much obliged. I'd be real happy about it, and I'd be sure to give you the honor and the glory and the praise when you restore your people and restore your land. Amen. It's a whole lot like what was prayed there with Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 14. He said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven. Amen. He said, I'll hear their land. You say, that's for Israel. Hey, if you want to rob yourself of a blessing, go right ahead. I just still believe tonight that if we'll pray and we'll move, that God desires to help us. Hey, there's still hope for America. There was hope for Jerusalem. There's still hope for God's people. And we can see God move in these days again. Brother, there used to be a God consciousness when you went to church. There used to be a God consciousness among people. And now it's just kind of like, excuse the expression, but we're the butt of the joke. Amen. We blame things on the televangelist. But a lot of our problem is just carnal Christians tonight. We act one way here, we put on the facade, we put on the mask, and then we cussing at work, telling dirty jokes at work, laughing at them. We're real quick to talk about the subjects that interest us and interest other people. Well, we get lockjaw when it comes to the gospel. We get lockjaw when it comes to the Word of God. Can I just tell you tonight, I'm guilty of that. Been guilty of it in the past. We're quick to stand up and say, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation of the Jew first, also to the Greek, and everyone that believeth. But on that line in the plan, it gets real tough sometimes, doesn't it? Maybe you have done some things. Maybe you have said some things that you shouldn't have. And now the devil's just beating you up and working you over concerning that. But I'm glad tonight we can get right with God. We can get right with others. We can take up the slack where we've let it go in the past. And we can be what God wants us to be tonight. Amen. He prayed a prayer of restoration. You understand tonight, there are things in life that only prayer can fix. There are some situations tonight, even going on in your life tonight, as we speak and as we're here tonight, that if God does not intervene, it's going to be a mess. I'm talking about somebody's life. I'm talking about somebody's home. I'm talking about somebody's marriage tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you've come out of the world and God has saved you. Or maybe you're here tonight and you've kind of gotten away from the Lord and got backslid a little bit and you did some things that you're ashamed of and you did some things that you hope to God nobody ever finds out about, and you're carrying that burden around and carrying that shame around and you're embarrassed about that and you feel all kinds of ways about it and you're not exactly sure what to do. Hey, I'm glad tonight if you can find a place of prayer, you can bury up in the Word of God. Listen, God has the capability to give you some of your innocence back. You can blush again. You can feel ashamed over those things again. And you can get right with God and you can put it behind you and you can move on tonight by the grace of God. You can get some of your innocence back tonight. We ought to pray for America tonight. Lord, I pray for our country. Some would say, well, she's too far gone. If there's anything that we understand about history, it repeats itself. You look at Rome, it was a great metropolis of the world at one time, full of sin, full of iniquity, full of unspeakable things. The light went out for Rome. You read about Israel, Jerusalem, constantly over and over and over. The prophets again, they predicted it over and over. Then in AD 70, a man named Titus with his army came and just absolutely sacked Jerusalem. God's word came to pass. Understand tonight, if our country and our people do not get right with God, history will repeat itself. We've pumped the information into our heart and our mind that we're the greatest country that this world's ever known. And I believe that tonight. I believe this is the greatest nation as far as the sovereignty of America. No country has freedom like we have tonight. And we ought to enjoy that and not take that for granted. But listen, if we think that we can't fall, I mean, the dollar, look at the value of the dollar. Decreasing, decreasing. You realize that we could wake up tomorrow and every bit of money that you and I have could be worth nothing? You understand that? And I'm not a doomsday prepper, and I don't think you need to have a bunker full of food and ammunition and all that, and you have that, more power to you. I'm just going to trust God. But understand that this ship could be sunk tomorrow. What are we left with? Left with our family. Left with the Word of God, left with Christ, left with the church. I think we'd really see what matters. Daniel prayed a prayer of restoration. And then finally, can I say this? Daniel prayed a prayer of revelation. The Bible says in verse number 24, the latter part of the chapter, he said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Daniel's prophecy was a sealed revelation. It's a very mysterious book full of visions and things that are kind of sometimes difficult to interpret. But the counterpart to this book is the last book in the Word of God, the book of the Revelation. And it's not a sealed up revelation. It's not something that's hid away, and it's not something that's veiled. As a matter of fact, in the opening chapters of the book of the Revelation, we're invited to read it and we're promised a blessing if we do so, because God wants us to understand and to know that Jesus is coming again. And thank God, everything that's wrong in this world, thank God He's going to set it right. Hallelujah. He'll step down on the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. He'll walk down through the Kidron Valley. He'll sit down on the throne of David and establish a kingdom. Hallelujah. And it's going to be righteousness and it's going to be holiness unto the Lord for 1,000 years. It seems like now, the day and hour in which we live, it's getting harder and harder and harder to do right. I mean, you're the absolute minority, especially among independent fundamental Baptists. I'll just go ahead and say that right now. You're in the small percentile of what you believe and how you conduct yourself even among Christians tonight. We're the minority. But I'm telling you, one of these days, we'll be the majority. Somebody wants to sneak around and do something, they're going to have to find some deep, dark corner somewhere and do it, because righteousness is going to, but what a day that's going to be. Where King Jesus is on the throne. Amen. No more voting for a president. No more lies from politicians. Amen. No more having to watch the economy and see a bunch of depressing things on the news. Thank God our Savior is going to rule and reign. Hallelujah. And what a day that's going to be. What a wonderful time that's going to be. Where the lion and the lamb is going to lay down together. And it's going to be peace and it's going to be holiness. King Jesus will be on the throne tonight. Amen. You say, what is it? What's going to fix America? It's that prayer of revelation. For your lost loved ones and those lost co-workers and lost friends and families, listen, it's going to take a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is the conception of all true prayer. It begins and it ends with Him. Christ is the center of all true prayer. He is the climax and He is the basis of our prayer. Christ is the consummation of all true prayer. It's all about Him. And prayer is not twisting the arm of God to get what you want, but it's like as Paul prayed, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and being made conformable unto His death. When you miss out on the privilege and the opportunity to pray, you're missing out on the privilege to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is to bring us closer to Him, to know His presence, to know His power, to know His plan, to know His prophecy. Listen, Daniel did not understand. He was given a sealed book, as we already said. But he was given the faith and the grace to accept even what he did not understand tonight. I don't understand everything that's going on in this world. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But as we always say, we know who holds tomorrow tonight. Amen. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, preacher, are we ever going to see national revival again? I don't know. But I'm glad that we can see revival on a church-wide scale. But in order for that to happen, you and I are going to have to see revival on a personal scale. How long has it been since you cleaned the closet out? How long has it been since you got right with God? How long has it been since you lifted up that rug from all that stuff you tried to kick under it and sweep under it tonight? Getting right with God is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Maybe somebody that you need to get right with. But first and foremost, you need to get right with God tonight. Amen. We ought to pray for our country. We ought to pray for America. But we ought to stand up and be counted. And we ought to determine in our heart that we'll live a Christian life every single day that we get up. Those that have made it, those gray-haired saints that are in here tonight, they're not here by accident. They made the decision every day that they got up. I'm just going to be a Christian today. Just going to read my Bible today. I'm just going to pray today. Tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, we'll worry about tomorrow. Can't do anything about yesterday. But today, I'm going to be a Christian. You mess up, pray about it. Get right with God. Start over again. Thank God He's a God of grace tonight. Amen. And He can restore you and help you, guide you in the right way. As we stand together, as they prepare a song, maybe you need to come tonight. Pray about some things. Get right over some things. Maybe somebody pray with you. You mind the Lord tonight. Thank God for the great privilege that we have to live in America. We can lose what we got tomorrow. Let's not take it for granted. Let's use freedom to our advantage tonight while we have it. Amen.